You're listening to PetLifeRadio.com.
This episode of The Pet Doctor is brought to you by Audible.com. Get a free audiobook download at audiblepodcast.com/petdoctor. Over 75,000 titles to choose from for your iPod or MP3 player.
Is your pet stressed out? Does your pet need annual vaccines? Which pet is best for a child? Would you know if your dog was in pain? Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor, where you'll learn everything about keeping your pet healthy and happy. From pet care, pet meds and grooming, to pet food, pet insurance and dental care, this is the place to find out everything there is to know about pet wellness. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets, because it's your pet. Health matters. Please welcome your Pet Doctor host, veterinary media consultant and veterinarian, Dr. Bernadine Cruz.
This is Dr. Bernadine Cruz for Pet Life Radio and The Pet Doctor. Well, sometimes you just have to do really tough assignments, and my tough assignment today is being in Kauai, and we happen to be at the Kauai Humane Society, and I am interviewing Dr. Becky Rhodes. So she's going to tell us a little bit about being a veterinarian in paradise. We'll be right back after this short break.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, boy, how you doing? What am I doing? I'm creating your own life book. It's a website that's just for you. Remember that picture I took of you pulling off Lisa's bathing suit? Yeah, I know, me too. I'm putting that awesome picture on your life book page. We'll see what comments we get. And that great video we took of you standing on the table with your head inside the turkey? That's definitely going on there. No, it's easy. It only took me 2 minutes to set up your page. I chose a great theme, and I can connect with millions of other pet parents. I can also create a memorial life book. No, not for Grandma, but we can make one for Fluffy, remember her? And we can even put links to our favorite pet charity. And friends can make donations. People can create their own life book for their pets by going to PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com. Or they can sign up on the Pet Life Radio homepage. Where's Lisa? She's outside by the pool. Hey, come back here! Create your own life book for your pet. PetLifeRadio.LivingYearsPets.com.
When you're looking to add a pet into your life, consider adopting a homeless animal from your local shelter or rescue group. Whether you want a kitten, puppy, or a more mature pet, a purebred or a one-of-a-kind mixed breed, even a rabbit or hamster, your shelter has the best selection of animals anywhere, all screened for good health and behavior. PetLifeRadio.com presents Take Me Home with your host, Susan Daffron. Join us each week as we showcase wonderful pets, tell stories, and even throw some pet education into the mix. So get ready to find out why the pet adoption option can be a great way to add a furry companion into your life. Take Me Home every week on demand, only on PetLifeRadio.com. Let's Talk Pets on PetLifeRadio.com. Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Rhodes, you have a fantastic facility above this place. It's just wonderful. First of all, how did you get here to Hawaii? Are you a native?
No, I'm actually originally from Illinois. I went to veterinary school at Colorado State. But came here right out of veterinary school to actually work on horses. It was a friend of a friend that had a horse practice on Oahu, and I ended up coming here and then started my own practice and did horses and small animal part-time for about 8 years on Oahu. Then I'd been an animal control officer before college and did a case for the Humane Society on Oahu and got kind of back to why I went to vet school. I went to vet school because I was frustrated as the local dog catcher back in the day, in the 70s, I couldn't believe the way people throw pets away, pet overpopulation, all of that. And that was really why I'd gone to school, because I figured if they didn't listen to me as a dog catcher, they might listen to me as a veterinarian. And that hadn't necessarily come true, but everybody's an expert in our world. Anyway,
this facility is fairly new. How old is it?
2001. We opened in 2001. And the reason you see this huge facility on the small island of Kauai is because of Hurricane Iniki in 1992, which was a Category 5 storm that really devastated the island. And there was a opportunity to raise funds to create a shelter, a hurricane shelter for pets. And we're now a pet-friendly hurricane shelter for the whole family. We house people and pets. We're one of the public facilities for emergency evacuation, as well as we supply the volunteers now, since Hurricane Katrina, to help take care of pets in all the public shelters. It's now a law here that pets can go to all the public shelters, and so we're training volunteers and partnering with American Red Cross to provide that service in the event of a storm or any other disaster.
That was one good thing, I agree with you, that came out of Katrina, is that before, the Red Cross, and understandably not wanting to have disease and the problems that could come along with having pets, you know, these people in Katrina and New Orleans weren't leaving their homes because I can't leave my pet behind.
You know, there's some recent work coming out, and it's going to be published, I believe, pretty soon, that 50% of the people that perished in the New Orleans area was a result of not evacuating with their pets. I think that the Pets Act, which now requires communities to prepare and shelter pets, it's one of the hugest things that has affected animal welfare and pets in general. For many, many years. It's huge. The federal law, the federal government, the state governments, and the local governments are all learning about our world as I speak, trying to figure out about companion animals. They never had to worry about it before, and it's caused huge awareness as well as partnerships between local animal welfare, animal care and control, and government. It's such a big event. What came as a result of Hurricane Katrina?
Something good.
Yeah.
Now, is Kauai the exception to the rule of having such a large, wonderful shelter? If we were to go to the other islands, are they as progressive as Kauai is?
I think that you'll find their people and their programs are very progressive, in some places more progressive than Kauai Humane Society. As to the facility, no, we're the newest facility on the island, or in the islands, in the state. And I think several of them are working on capital campaigns to try and improve their facilities, but with the hard economic times, it's a really difficult time to be able to do that. But program, people, skilled professionals, you'll find it everywhere in the state, a really good bunch of people. We work a lot together.
Are there a lot of veterinarians on the island?
We actually have 5 veterinary clinics on Kauai. We have one guy that does primarily horses, large animals, but he does do some small animal work. And then there's 4 other full-service clinics. And I think Kapa'a Animal Clinic is probably the biggest one, and I want to say they have 4 or 5 veterinarians. They don't all work full-time, but part-time. But no, we have, that's about how many clinics, I don't know how many veterinarians, maybe 50, that some retired, some practicing. I'm not quite sure.
I could see it's a good place to practice, yes. If somebody has to be here, you know, it's you, and maybe I'll just come to visit. How many pets does this shelter handle per year? Walking through, I was very happy to see a lot of empty cages.
Yeah, it just depends on the day, how they come and go. We receive a little over 7,000 animals a year, and it's a sad thing for me. It's a community of about 60,000 residents, but we have a very significant pet overpopulation problem, primarily with free-roaming cats, feral cats, and then some dog issues, but not as much of an issue as the cats. And then we do offer a nuisance control program for the feral chickens, and so that also is a significant number of the animals that we receive.
There's a lot of chickens on this island.
I don't know if you ever heard the story about how the chickens got established.
Tell us the story.
You know, the islands are very multi-ethnic, and we have had a law for many years that makes cockfighting illegal, but it still is very prevalent on the islands. And the hurricane in Eva in the 80s, and then hurricane Iniki in the 90s actually blew the chickens around the island from the cockfighting farms. These are all game fowl that you see, and a lot of people raise chickens to fight. And they got blown around the island and they got established as pigeons, and that's why you'll see them. The other big reason you see so many chickens on Kauai versus the other islands is we don't have mongoose. We're very, very careful about keeping the mongoose out of here because we have very precious birds besides, not just chickens, but we have some very endangered birds. Anyway, that's why you see all the chickens.
They literally just went in the air, you know. Toto, we're not home yet back in Kansas.
So. They just proliferate very quickly. You know, there's no real predators, so they're out and about everywhere.
Speaking of predators, yesterday, a friend and I were doing some of the zip lining here, again, you know, trying to get background information for this terrible assignment that I have. We're seeing some of the egrets that were there along with the cattle, trying to pick off, they were saying, pick off bugs off the cattle, but now they're just picking up bugs off the ground. So the highest in the food chain around here are the feral cats, is that?
Yeah, pretty much. Loose dogs, cats, humans are probably the highest predator for most things with the cars. But cats are about the highest. We do have a barn owl that also was introduced. The cattle egret was introduced, so were cats. Cats cause a great concern for predation for the birds.
The condos that I'm staying at there right now, they have a feral kitty that's there, and you can tell it's very well fed from people such as myself, giving it some food. But you were saying before we started recording this that the feral cat really is a problem, why they're trying to trap them, especially get them away from the coast. Why so?
Yeah, I won't say that the feral cat is totally it's a problem in this population, but it can predate on the birds. It does predate on the birds. We've proven that. And so many of the bird nesting areas for the seabirds that are very precious, and there's very few of them left, are on the coastlines. And so we're just starting a partnership and trying to work with the nonprofit group called Kauai Ferals, as well as Fish and Wildlife, Department of Land and Natural Resources, and trying to create some no-cat zones where we can have the cats, if they're going to be managed in colonies, push back away from the coastline to help protect the birds on the coastline. There's some areas that we have to identify that cats are okay. Sure, that was my little dog giving us a little comment on that.
That's what I think of cats.
Anyway, it is an issue, but not most important is that people get them spayed and neutered, and that is one way to help reduce more homeless cats.
Now, I noticed you had a free spay and neuter program. Is that the entire island?
Yeah, we offer it for everybody, free spay neuter for cats, and then we have a mobile program that we take around the island and go to different neighborhoods once a month for 8 months out of the year that's free as well. We really want to get after the cats. We want to enable people easily to help prevent more kittens and more cats. Our difference here than you might see on the mainland is, though, that we require every cat sterilized. Somebody has to put their name on it. We microchip mandatory 100% of the cats, and they have to take responsibility for the cats. So we don't call it TNR. We call it TNRM for trap, neuter, release, and manage. That's our approach to the cats.
So this feral cat right now that's where we're staying, they're trying to trap it, bring it in here. It needs to be adopted by somebody before it can be released again?
Yeah, and it actually may be already. I'm pretty sure it has a chip if it has a tipped ear. And so we need to contact the person that is responsible for that cat, and that's what we'll do if it gets brought in, so we can scan it and advise them that they need to find a different place to keep the cat. Property owners have the right not to have any cats on their property, and so we want to, that's the first thing you do when you feed cats, is to ask the property owner, is it okay for me to have my cats here? And if it's not, then the cats are in jeopardy and at risk, and that's why we encourage people to ask property owners.
All right, very good to know. Are there some unique health issues that you have of cats and dogs being here on the island? I know you don't have rabies. Maybe you can address that first before we go into it. Oftentimes, I will have clients that, you know, I'm moving to Hawaii and I want to take my dog or take my cat. Going, okay, we have a couple ways of doing this, the long way or the expedited way. Why do they have these quarantines and where are they quarantined?
Well, it truly is paradise because we don't have rabies. We haven't ever had rabies, and there used to be an old program where you came to the state with a dog or a cat, you had to keep it in quarantine for 120 days. The current law requires that it doesn't require any quarantine if you start about 6 months before you're moving or coming here. We even have part-time visitors that stay here part-time that are now bringing their pets regularly. But you have to get a titer test that's specific for Hawaii, a blood test that shows that the pet has an immune response to the vaccination, has a protective immune response. You have to wait 120 days from that titer test before you enter the state, and then there's a series of two vaccinations that they have to have had that you have to time within that period of getting it tested and waiting for the 120 days. So then you can come directly to Kauai. For the quarantine, if you just come here with a dog, you will, or cat, you will have to have it in quarantine. We're one of the state-approved satellite quarantine facilities here at Kauai Humane Society. We actually do the service for the state at the airport, and we greet and expect pets at the airport when they come in from the mainland.
Do they get a little lay also?
Yeah. 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 We haven't gotten to the lay part.
Maybe a bandana.
Yeah. And we're pretty busy, you know. There's about six greetings a month, which is great. And so it's a wonderful opportunity for us. We were glad we got approved because we get to meet all the new pet owners moving to Kauai. And so
now there's no quarantine at all if they go through all these steps ahead of time.
Do all these steps ahead of time, then you get a permit issued from the state ag on Oahu. We can greet you at the airport, and there's no quarantine. You get released directly at the airport.
So for a lot of people, my sister included, who has property here and stays months at a time.
It's a little complicated process, but once you go through it a couple times, it gets simpler, but it is cumbersome. It's not an easy process. I don't know why the state couldn't make it easier, but anyway.
It's the government, yes.
And I think other health issues, even though we don't have rabies, we have, I've always said that the fleas are the size of Volkswagens and the ticks are the size of Cadillacs. We have a lot of ticks and fleas because of the tropical climate and no freeze, and so it's really critical for people to keep on a preventative program. We have heartworm, we have leptospirosis, we have, one of the unique things we have is bufo toad toxicity. We have a toad that's everywhere on the islands, and if dogs mouth it, it has a poisonous secretion on its skin, and the dog can get very sick, and little dogs, if they get enough of a dose, can actually die from it. And so we talk a lot about the bufos.
So people, I can see the reason why you want to greet them at the airport. You have to worry about this, and this.
A lot of people come where there's no heartworm or they don't have fleas and ticks as much, and so we always try to talk about that and then the toads.
So thankfully, at least the preventative, it's a lot easier these days. Fleas. Since we're in such a tropical area, and many people hopefully are listening to this throughout the world, throughout the United States, what is the trick here, if there is a trick, to keeping your fleas and ticks under control?
Well, ticks, you know, it's kind of a incident. If you see them, then you start treating them. And there's a lot of products on the market now, and I won't go into all of them. We treat everybody here on intake with Frontline for the dogs, and we use Advantage on all the cats. But one of my favorite products that I use on my own dogs at home is that Comfortis, just for fleas. But boy, has that changed the world. Because I think rotating them, using, you know, but not rotating them every time, but trying to set up a system where you're not always using the same product, I think is very, very important. But the old days of bathing and dipping are over. And
it's thankfully.
Just, I know. The time we spent on that, especially in Hawaii, back when I was in practice in the 80s, you know.
You've seen all the toxins, haven't you?
Yeah.
Yes.
I mean, it's just an amazing transformation. But we always counsel pet owners here, advise them that, you know, go to your veterinarian for the product. Don't try and buy Kmart or Walmart over-the-counter flea and tick control. But that's kind of changing, you know. Now, Frontline and Advance, all of them, I think, are going to go to the mainstream for sale and no longer be required to be through your veterinarian. So we may not be doing that anymore.
I think one of the real problems, there are some products that are very safe in cats and dogs, some that are very safe for dogs, not necessarily cats. And I agree with you, when you go to your big box store and you're talking to just somebody who has no background on it or had that half hour crash course, oh sure, this is good, and take it home, and well, if it's good enough for a dog, you know, I'll just put a little bit on my cat, and then you run into the problems. If there was an emergency here on the island, a pet health emergency, who takes care of it? Do they have an emergency clinic?
No, we don't have an emergency clinic, and it goes, there's one veterinarian that pretty much will see any pet on emergency in Lihue, and the other one, it's kind of based on your client relationship. We do 24/7 emergency rescue, though, and so an animal gets hit by a car or injured, mostly for homeless animals, if we have a lost animals. If we have an owner call, we refer them to the clinic in Lihue for 24-hour emergency.
This has just been fascinating, and I want to touch on some of the animals that I've seen in the oceans around here and see what veterinarians are involved with that. So right now we're talking to Dr. Becky Rhodes. We're at the Kauai Humane Society, or shelter, here in Kauai, Hawaii. So we're going to take a short break, be right back, and learn more about being a veterinarian in paradise.
Please have a seat in the waiting room. The doctor will be with you shortly, right after these messages.
Hey, love to read, but just never seem to have enough time to sit in one place long enough? For all of us on-the-go people, Audible has the answer. Best-selling audiobooks for your iPod or MP3 player. For Pet Life Radio listeners, Audible is offering a free audiobook download with a free 14-day trial to give you a chance to check out their service. Choose from hundreds of today's bestsellers, including awesome pet books such as Bad Dogs Have More Fun by Marley and the author John Grogan, Love That Cat by Ingrid Newkirk, It's Okay to Miss the Bed on the First Jump, and Other Life Lessons I Learned from Dogs by Seinfeld's John O'Hurley, and many, many more. To download your free audiobook today, go to audiblepodcast.com/pet doctor. Again, that's audiblepodcast.com/pet doctor for your free audiobook.
Coast to coast and around the world, it's All Behave with Arden Moore. Find out why cats and dogs do the things they do and get the latest buzz from wagging tongues and tails in Rin Tin Tinseltown. From famous pet experts and best-selling authors to television and movie stars, you'll get great tail-wagging pet tips and have a fur-flying fun time. All Behave with America's pet edutainer, Arden Moore. Every week on demand. This is the place for a special paparazzi treat. Only on PetLifeRadio.com.
Let's talk pets.
Let's talk pets.
On Pet Life Radio.
Pet Life Radio.
PetLifeRadio.com.
Welcome back to The Pet Doctor on Pet Life Radio with Dr. Bernadine Cruz. The doctor is in, and we'll see you now.
Dr. Rhodes, are there veterinarians here on the island who, we saw some of the monk seals, and the monk seals will come in, and I'm sure there are times they have altercations with propellers or with nets or people out there. Who takes care of them?
Dr. Mimi is our veterinarian, local veterinarian. She's in charge of the monk seal program here on Kauai. She's great. I can't remember the name, monk seal something. I can't remember. Then we have actually a team of veterinarians in the state that work for any kind of marine mammal or mammal issues. It can be an injured monk seal. It can be an injured turtle. We have several protected species. And in whale, we had a baby whale recently that had some issues. There's a team of people that work together that help the monk seals as well as the other marine mammals and the turtles.
So you don't get involved in that?
I haven't. I have enough on my plate. But I know them well, and we know who to call for what. We may be the first responder in the sense of a turtle comes up or a monk seal comes up. We may be there first, but we call them in. They're the experts.
Try to stabilize it.
Yeah.
I love it. Here at the Humane Society, we see cats and dogs, and right now hearing that rooster in the background. What other animals do you typically get in here?
We occasionally get some pet birds, cockatiels, parrots, lovebirds, rabbits, guinea pigs. You know, Hawaii has a lot of prohibited species, so we don't have gerbils and we don't have hamsters. They're not legal to have in Hawaii.
Why?
Most likely because if they got loose, they would cause horrible devastation of protected forests, some of the protected species. That's my guess that why they originally got prohibited. And then we have a program that we do rehabilitation for seabirds here. That's the other program that we do. It's called Save Our Shearwaters. And we primarily work on the seabirds during the fledgling season, which is the fall, where they go down when they're trying to take off from the mountains or the shoreline. and we rehab them and re-release them. And we're looking to hopefully expand that to a year-round native bird rehab program.
It sounds like this is going to take a lot of people, a lot of volunteers for that program, as well as here at the shelter taking care of the cats and dogs, the guinea pigs, etc., that you're getting in. Where do you find these people? Just,
you know, the precious thing about Kauai is one of the most giving communities I've ever lived with. It's just amazing. We do volunteer orientations twice a month for new volunteers. We never have fewer than six or eight, and we've had up to 30 or 40. We have hundreds of volunteers that help us here at the Humane Society shelter, as well as down at our thrift shop in Leihui, which is a very popular thrift shop. They also help us with the seabirds. They help us with our events, just outreach, everything. It's a very giving community. And you go to any nonprofit or even some of our for-profit and government services, you see volunteers. It's a very giving community that way.
Now, you have Dogs on the Path. Is that one of your programs?
It's not a program. We have a new county park multi-use path that opened up in Kapa'a Town. And because it was a park, no dogs were allowed. And people had walked there for years before it became a park. So we were able to get the government to allow us to have a trial period for 18 months to show how people can be responsible with their dogs. And it was very successful. The trial period ends May 31st this year. So we're in trying to get the ordinance passed permanently. And it's not been a very easy task. Anywhere else in the country, pretty reasonable request to walk your dog on a leash, be required to pick up poop and do the deal, right? Not on Kauai. It's been a very difficult issue. And I'm not sure why, other than I think it's a small town and people may have been bitten by a dog somewhere along the line, like a lot of people, but they just are feared of dogs and feel that path is for people only and you should be able to walk it without being scared of a dog. So, I actually sent something to Ellen DeGeneres' show to talk about how silly this whole thing is. Anyway, we're in a big deal right now. We have a hearing next week and we're hoping to get it passed permanently. Surveyed the community, overwhelmingly supportive of dogs responsibly being walked. But the government has come down to isolate us to one little end of it.
So some government official out there has this thing against dogs. That's true. Because one of the things I have noticed being here on the island for a few days is it seems like all the dogs are always on a leash. I have not seen a stray dog or dog off a leash with somebody. In the back of their trucks, okay, that bothers me. You don't have laws for dogs being loose in the back of trucks?
Not on Kauai. We have it on Oahu, but we haven't gotten it passed statewide, and so we don't have that. I know, it's very heartbreaking to see those loose dogs in the back of the truck.
But one of the things that's not heartbreaking is to see your dog park that you have here also.
Yes, very popular. We opened it a few years ago, and a great resource for the community, and we're hoping that the government, working with the government, will be able to open some more parks. We're working on one up in the Wailua area right now with the county. Very successful, great way for people to get the goose out of their dogs and dogs to be with their buddies, as well as for people to socialize. We sell parties. We have a gourmet Mexican chef that helps us, and we sell parties in the dog park as a fundraiser. This is one of the funnest things in the world. They come here and we get all the lights up and everything, and people with their dogs have a party, and it's just a blast anyway. And Arden was here actually one year for our Love a Dog Day, which is a huge party in the park anyway.
And right now you're talking about Arden Moore, who has Obehave on Pet Life Radio, so we'll do a cross-pollination here and promote her also. Anything else that you can think of that's here on the island everyone should know? Of course, everyone who comes to Kauai should stop here and see the facility. How can they help?
Well, you can always stop and, you know, donations are always very helpful. But also just to come get a t-shirt, come get a cap, come get a souvenir from us to take back from Kauai for your, if you're traveling and you want to take gifts back to your friends and family on the mainland. I think that as you travel Kauai, we're a very rural kind of changing community and we still have some animal issues on Kauai, but we're changing. And I think that it's improving and it's becoming more progressive every day. But don't judge us by the mix of what you see here. It brings much greatness to living here by having the mixed culture. But we have some challenges like the chickens and the chicken fighting and all of that, but it's getting better every day. And I hope that you're enjoying your stay here. It's a beautiful, beautiful place and it truly is paradise.
I've had the opportunity to be at several of the islands, and my favorite truly is Kauai. It's a bit more laid back. The a little bit more lush, green, verdant. The animal population, the people here, they're all very friendly, just love it. It's hard to get lost, too. When you're geographically challenged like I am, trying to make it to one end of the island to the other, I haven't gotten lost yet.
And the best beaches in the world. Just the best beaches in the world. It's a wonderful place.
And if you like to snorkel, you can see more of the wildlife under the water.
Yeah. Well, thank you so much for visiting with us. And, yep, if you're on Kauai, you got to stop by the Kauai Humane Society.
And taking home a cat or a dog?
Yeah, maybe. I'm always one about adopt locally. There's plenty of homeless pets in your neighborhood. And we have great transfer programs. We're saving lots and lots more animals every day. But go to your local shelter.
Sounds great. So I've been speaking right now with Dr. Becky Rhodes. We're at Kauai Humane Society on Kauai, Hawaii. And it is a wondrous facility. Hopefully anyone who happens to be traveling to the islands has an opportunity to stop and see them. So Dr. Rhodes, if people wanted to learn more about Kauai and the Humane Society here, where can they go?
They can go to our website at kauaihumane.org. We're also on Facebook and Twitter. We're all over the place.
You are modern.
Yeah, and we encourage people to learn about us. Especially if you are here visiting or you're planning on visiting, there's a lot of great information on our website, kauaihumane.org.
Great. Dr. Rhodes, thank you so much.
Thank you very much.
Pets can be a wonderful addition to your life. Keeping them healthy and happy is important. Pet Life Radio presents The Pet Doctor with veterinary media consultant and veterinarian Dr. Bernadine Cruz. Whether you have a dog, cat, reptile, or rabbit, you'll find answers for your pets straight from the vets. The Pet Doctor, on demand every week, only on PetLifeRadio.com.